Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Chinese police have arrested a fugitive who'd been on the run for 17 years after they used drones to spot his cave hideout. The world's most freakishly advanced robot dog is now for sale. American entrepreneur Elon Musk has given an update on his Starship and Super Heavy rocket system. And an injured tortoise who lost its shell in a fire has become the world's first recipient of a 3D printed shell. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Chinese police have arrested a fugitive who had been on the run for 17 years after they used drones to spot his cave hideout. The 63-year-old had been jailed for human trafficking, but escaped from a prison camp in 2002. He had been living in a tiny cave cut off from human interaction for a number of years. Yongshan police received clues about the man's whereabouts in early September. Those clues led them to the mountains behind his hometown in Yunnan province in southwest China. After regular searches failed to find anything, authorities sent additional drones to help the officers. The drones eventually spotted a blue-colored steel tile on a steep cliff, as well as traces of household garbage nearby. Police then moved in on foot and found Song in a small cave where he'd been hiding. According to the police, the man had been living in seclusion for so long that it was difficult for him to communicate with the officers. State media said the man had used plastic bottles to get his drinking water from a river and branches of trees to make a fire. He has been sent back to jail.
It's unreal that he's disappeared for that long and then...
17 years
found
of
by
no.
drones.
It's another use for drones. I was part of search and rescue efforts before with my drones for air support, and we had to look for cows. You know, cows got out of their, fenced, and cows are expensive, you know, so they hired us, and we did find those cows.
Very cool.
But yeah, no, it's just another great use for this technology.
How long have drones been around for?
This is not something he would have planned for in 2002.
No, he'd be like, what?
What is this?
What are those?
Aliens!
Exactly. Oh, I say the poor guy, but I mean, he's an escaped convict.
Yeah.
Still, that must have been a world of confusion. Holy.
Would have been scary. Yeah. Having a whole bunch of police drones coming in on you.
Yeah.
If you think about that, if you've never seen such a technology, I don't know. Maybe he had. Maybe he was like sneaking into town and keeping up on the news. I don't know.
I mean, and then when they say that they were problems communicating, I don't think his base communication skills would be a problem. But think about in 17 years how general language has changed.
Yeah.
There is slang.
Yeah.
Everything else, right?
It'd be very interesting to really get a lot more information about that interaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting indeed.
Mm-hmm. The world's most freakishly advanced robot dog is now for sale. We've watched the spot robot quadruped grow up and evolve from its earliest days as a larger, more cumbersome beast to a carefully refined machine capable of pulling trucks. Now maker Boston Dynamics is putting the robo dog on sale. The idea is not to provide a friendly pet that curls up in front of the fire each evening, though. Spot is designed for industrial use, whether that's carrying goods through a warehouse or inspecting a remote site that human operators would find difficult to get to. With that in mind, you can't just put down your cash and walk away with a Spot. Instead, Boston Dynamics will lease the Spot bot to companies with genuine uses for it. Prices vary and are on request, but think in the tens of thousands of U.S. dollars. A nimble robot that climbs stairs and traverses rough terrain with unprecedented ease, yet is small enough to use indoors, is the description on the Boston Dynamics sales page. Quote, built to be a rugged and customizable platform, Spot autonomously accomplishes your industrial sensing and remote operation needs, end quote. For your money, you get a robot that can operate for 90 minutes between charges with a maximum speed of 1.6 meters per second, which is about 3.5 miles per hour. It can work in temperatures of between negative 20 degrees Celsius, which is negative 4 degrees Fahrenheit and 45 degrees Celsius, which is 113 degrees Fahrenheit, and has a 360-degree camera vision that enables it to avoid obstacles. Spot can operate in the rain, too, and is able to carry payloads of up to 14 kilograms, which is nearly 31 pounds. Buyers can add bespoke sensors and hardware modules to Spot to adapt it for a variety of tasks.
That is so cool. It has been neat to see Spot's evolution as a technology.
Now, I just want to take it back also to the last story. Could you imagine if they also use Spot, drones and Spot to find
goodness.
The guy?
The dog climbing up the side of the mountain.
From Black Mirror. Like, it's just like these little dogs coming at you.
What is this?
I know.
Like, even for like search and rescue, though, like that's pretty cool. Eh?
Yeah.
Like, if you can go in like a disaster zone or...
That's what I'm thinking. Like a volatile area you could send these in to find with 360-degree vision.
Right.
To find, like, lost people or lost pets or whatever.
Or they can help with Uber Eats.
That
would be perfect.
I want my Tim Hortons.
I want 13. How many pounds is it? 30 pounds? You can hold 30 pounds of KFC? 31 pounds of KFC.
Oh, my goodness.
Perfect.
So because Boston Dynamics isn't selling them, they're leasing them, does that mean that they retain some of the rights to release the information of what they're used for? Because how fun would it be then to not, like, to see the adventures of Spot? Right? Like, maybe Boston Dynamics has you sign a waiver saying you must share pictures or you must give
Instagram.
Or I'd really like to know what Spot ends up used for.
Yeah.
There's so much potential there.
Now we've got to take a quick break. The Crypto Report and more of this week's top tech news are coming up. Don't go anywhere. American entrepreneur Elon Musk has given an update on his Starship and Super Heavy rocket system. He plans to use the new vehicles to send people to the moon and Mars and also to move them swiftly around the Earth. The SpaceX CEO is in the process of building prototypes and plans to start flying them in the coming months. The MK-1 version of his Starship would begin high-altitude tests in the next 1 to 2 months, he said. The entrepreneur told an audience gathered at the company's Boca Chica, Texas facility where the prototype had been assembled, quote, "This is the most inspiring thing I've ever seen. This thing is going to take off, fly to 65,000 feet, about 20 kilometers, and come back and land. That is a giant thing. It's really going to be pretty epic to see that thing take off and come back," end quote. The 50-meter-tall Starship will eventually fly atop its booster, the Super Heavy, and both parts of the new rocket system, which together will stand 118 meters tall on the launch pad, are being designed to be fully reusable, making propulsive landings at the end of their mission.
If we get to orbit in about 6 months, then we have a, remember, it's designed to be a reusable rocket, so a reusable booster, reusable ship, so we can do many flights to prove out the reliability very quickly. So whereas with an expendable vehicle, you have to build, if you want to do 10 flights, let's say, to prove out the viability of an expendable vehicle, you need to build and destroy 10 vehicles. Whereas we can do 10 flights, you know, within basically 10 days. So when I say rapid reusability, I mean, you know, you can fly it. You can fly the booster 20 times a day. You fly the ship 3 or 4 times a day. That's what I mean by reusability. And the only reason the ship takes more time than the booster is that you need a couple of 3 or 4 orbits to synchronize for the ship so that it is I don't want to get into those complicated thing of orbital dynamics and the rotation of the Earth relative to satellite. But as anyone who's like knows the space, you know, the track of a satellite, unless it's an equatorial satellite, is a sinusoidal track on the Earth. Unless it's equatorial or sun synchronous. So launching sort of due east, you have to kind of wait for the orbits to the ground path to sync up with the launch site, and that's the only reason it really takes maybe 6 hours or something like that to sync up and land back at Boca or the Cape. One of the really interesting things to contemplate is the total mass to orbit capability of a large reusable system where you have a significant fleet in operation. If you've got something like Starship where you've got maybe 150 tons capable to orbit, and the ship can fly, is capable of, say, theoretically flying 4 times a day, but they call it like 75% uptime, so theoretical 3 times a day, 365 days a year. So that's like about 1,000 flights a year for the ship. The booster can do a lot more than that. This is obviously max theoretical. And you've got, 150 tons. That's sort of 150,000 tons to orbit per year, per ship. And if you've got, say, 10 ships, you would have 1.5 million tons to orbit per year. 20 ships, you've got 3 million tons to orbit a year. I think the total rest of world capacity, if you take all rockets on Earth, including Falcon, the total capacity to orbit, I think, is around 200 to 300 tons currently. Total Earth capacity to orbit is about 200 to 300 tons if all rockets launched at max rate. So we're talking about something that is, with a fleet of starships, 1,000 times more than all Earth capacity combined. All other rockets combined would be 0.1%, including ours. But you kind of need that if you're going to build a city on Mars. So it's got to be done.
Mr. Musk, who is well known for his aggressive scheduling, said, quote, "This is going to sound totally nuts, but I think we want to try to reach orbit in less than 6 months. Provided the rate of design and improvement and manufacturing improvement continues to be exponential, I think that that's accurate within a few months," end quote. While the scheduling often slips, eventually he does tend to deliver.
Wow. This is happening.
It's happening.
It's really happening.
It's probably not happening in 6 months, but it's happening.
Could be a year to a year and a half.
Right. Within a few months of 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
that's his cushion.
18 months of 6 months. Yeah. But anyhow, the fact that it's reusable, the fact,
I love that.
That speaks to me. I don't even like using reusable water bottles. Like, I don't want a spaceship
the
to
disposable
go,
ones
or that's what I mean, the disposable ones. So I like that it'll be able to safely, I assume, land in a controlled manner and be reused.
Well, that's it. And totally. And when you think about what's going to be necessary in order to, this is sci-fi. Like,
it really
we're talking about this in reality. I'm thinking, in order to place people on Mars.
Yeah.
Or to colonate the moon.
It seems so
like,
far away.
Like, this is reality now. Yeah.
Now, there's one question, though. Will there be a frequent flyer program that you can get miles? But no, it's really exciting.
I'm actually really more excited, mainly because I love Earth, but I'm more excited for the fact that travel around Earth. That would be so fast.
I'd love to visit Australia in about a half hour.
Exactly.
Be back for lunch, and go to Britain for dinner.
Well, you're a pilot, so you kind of have that sense
I'm just watching for that little NOTAM, so like when the airspace is closed for this, I'm going to be like, there goes Elon again. He's at it again.
But I see your flight plans, though, and I think, man, that would have taken me 6 hours, and you just fly somewhere, have lunch, and fly back.
I know. Now it's just like, we're going to Mars.
And that's how, it's just going to be reality one point. I mean, it's not going to be in 6 hours, but...
Or six months.
But that's going to happen.
Go to Japan in, a few hours, don't mind. Or an hour.
Wow.
An injured tortoise who lost its shell in a fire became the world's first recipient of a 3D-printed shell. When it comes to animals who are vulnerable in a forest fire, tortoises probably aren't the first to come to mind. However, they've been among the many victims of a fire in Brazil. One of the turtles who was injured in the brush fires was in desperate need of medical attention. They call him Freddy. He was badly burned, and his shell was actually destroyed from the fire. Turtles depend on their shells, so Freddy not having his was a big problem. A group of veterinarians, a dental surgeon, and a designer had only recently formed a group called the Animal Avengers that help animals who have been struck by tragedy. Freddie was their first patient and has been saved through the innovative use of technology. Freddie now lives at the home of one of the veterinarians who helped with the prosthetic.
That's so neat.
I actually really picture that as they save more and more animals, they're just going to adopt them as they save them. So, yeah. Like, really, this veterinarian and the dental surgeon and everybody, they're just all going to have this random, like, group
they're
of
gonna
animals. They're
going to open a zoo of 3D-printed animals.
So cool.
I love it. When tech comes into play to, like, save animals and the
absolutely.
Earth.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anytime, like, I love tech stories where, like, our human life is helped or improved, mm-hmm. and to think that they're doing things for animals as well, I think that's so super cool. We've got to take a real quick look at the crypto report, if we may, just to get a look at where things stand on the cryptocurrency market as of 1800 hours Eastern Time on Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. Bitcoin dropped about $362 US over the past week.
Wow.
Very volatile, and we're not really sure where it's going. It's down at $8,261.54 US this week. Facebook Libra, still not trading.
Super steady.
Yep. At zero. Litecoin is holding fairly steady. It's down a little bit at $55.68 US. Ethereum is at $177.53 US. Monero is losing a little bit at $55.82. And the two that are holding real steady are the ones that are, it looks like the microcoin market is just holding where it is.
Yeah.
It's not really fluctuating at the Satoshi level at all. We're looking at Scala this week again at 0.33 ten-thousandths of a cent, and Turtlecoin at 0.24. Remember, if you're going to invest or have any involvement in the cryptocurrency market, it's always open and it's always volatile. It's 24/7, so things could flip on their heads overnight and through the night. So when you invest, make sure that you invest only what you can afford to lose.
Mm-hmm. Big thanks to Rory W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
And I'm Robbie Ferguson.
And I'm Henry Bailey Brown.